This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
All right, it's not just about the Jets, everybody. The Giants have some questions, and it involves their quarterback and their main running back, which leads us to the Big Blue Report on 98.7 ESPN, driven by Ramsey Mazda. And we bring in our good friend Chris Canty. He and Chris Carlin do a show from 3 to 7 nationally on ESPN Radio, and you could hear the two of them filling in for Greeny a couple of times each week as well, and that is from 10 to noon on 98.7. And Chris joins us now. Chris, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you?
I'm doing good, boys. How's everything on your end?
Everything is going well. I'm wondering, as I was listening to Shane and Dable yesterday, I got the sense that Jones was high on their priority list. I'm not sure as high was Saquon Barkley. Did you get that same sense, and would you agree with that?
Oh, there's no doubt about it, Michael. When Joe Shane was asked about Daniel Jones, he said three times within the span of a minute, we'd like to have Daniel Jones back. When it comes to Saquon Barkley, he gave this long-winded explanation about how Saquon's contract negotiations had deep ramifications, not only with the 2023 offseason, but what happens in 2024 and 2025. And Michael, you know this as well as I do. When somebody starts going on this diatribe and trying to explain into the weeds, that just lets you know where they stand on the individual player.
Right.
Not saying that Saquon Barkley isn't a good football player, but he plays a position that you wouldn't prioritize when it comes to positions of importance in today's NFL.
And then that's the way I took it, Chris, is that they want him back, but he's way down on the priority list. So they'll work everything out, all their needs, and then if there's room, they'll make something work with him. If the franchise tag is available, maybe franchise tag him, but there's so many other things to address, and it's not him, it's just the position of running back.
Yeah, I mean, Don, if I'm looking at the Giants' offseason priorities, Daniel Jones is clearly front and center. But before we get to Saquon Barkley, I've got to address Dexter Lawrence's contract because he's a 2019 first-round draft pick. And I've got to address Andrew Thomas, who's the second-team All-Pro. He's in the first year that he's eligible for a contract extension. I'm taking care of both of those guys before we even discuss Saquon Barkley because both of those guys play in positions that are hard to find guys, especially players that are at the top of their position ranking. So when it comes to building a football team, I'm going to prioritize the quarterback, the pass rusher, the offensive line. Those are the top three positions. That's the order that the Giants should take care of their offseason business in 2023.
Now, before we go into, you know, what you would give Daniel Jones, we have not spoken to you since Saturday, and I'm sure you watched every single second of that game. And you know, in all honesty, I mean, they were terrible. They could not stop the run. They knew it was coming. What does that tell you about what the Giant defense needs as well? Because obviously they can't stop the running game.
Well, Michael, overall, I think the Giants are just a long ways off from being able to close the gap between them and the Eagles. And that's the team that you're going to have to deal with for the foreseeable future in order to get where you want to go. You're going to have to be able to beat Philly. And right now, on both sides of the ball, the Eagles are better. When it comes to the skill position players on offense, the Eagles are better. When it comes to the defensive secondary, the Eagles are better. When it comes to the quarterback, the Eagles are better. I mean, when you look at the roster top to bottom, I mean, it's hard to find areas where you would say, you know what, the Giants may have an advantage from a personnel standpoint, and that's a problem. So Joe Shane took care of his business in the first offseason, which is cleaning up the salary cap. This offseason, he's got some work to do in terms of retaining his top priorities in free agency, and then supplementing this roster with the rest of the free agent marketplace in the NFL draft. They got some ammunition. They got $60 million in cap space with the expected moves that they're going to make, and they've got 9 draft picks. So Joe Shane has got to make some moves in order to get a little bit closer to the pace car in the NFC East, which is the Philadelphia Eagles.
All right, so I obviously have no idea about the schematics defensively that you can go to. Let's say that the talent is not what it should be. Is there something that Wink Martindale could have done on Saturday to stop all the yards being gained on the ground? Was there a missed opportunity? Did he not scheme the right way, Chris?
Michael, there are no good answers when a team is willing to put their quarterback as a focal point in the running game. Mm-hmm. There's just no good answers. And Jalen Hurts is the most dynamic runner at the quarterback in today's game. I get that Lamar Jackson is a really singular, unique talent. But Jalen Hurts had 67 first downs rushing this year, Michael. That was third in the NFL behind Nick Chubb and Josh Jacobs, two all-pro running backs. So that's how special Jalen Hurts is in the running game. And then all you had to do is look at what he did in the second play of the game, a 40-yard dime to Devontae Smith. I mean, Michael, he's not Joe Burrow. He's not Pat Mahomes. That's a separate tier unto itself. And when you start talking about tier two quarterbacks, I don't know everybody that's in that tier, but I would start that tier with Jalen Hurts.
Were you?
There's a reason why he was an all-pro quarterback.
No, he was absolutely awesome this year, and all of a sudden the deep ball threat that I didn't know he had prior to this year just seems to be a ridiculous problem for anyone else.
Well, Peter,
in this
he didn't have it. He didn't have it before this year. But he went to the West Coast, worked with Tom House, quarterback guru, and cleaned up his mechanics, and he came back a much better quarterback from a fundamental standpoint, and that speaks to the sports character, which is why everybody in that Eagles locker room respects him.
But my question is though. Were you surprised or disappointed at all in the coaching plan, though? Like, I did see it. Like, you know, we got into a big argument on the show yesterday because I was very down on this loss, and Don saw it with a silver lining here. I don't know, though. To me, you had a game where you didn't see anything particularly good from your quarterback. He didn't lose the game for them, but he didn't show you anything great. But more than that to me, Chris, is I thought Dable got circles run around him by Sirianni.
Yeah, I don't think it was a great game plan by Brian Daboll. He said as much in the post-game press conference, but I think you get the sense that there was an air of desperation early on from Daboll. That's why he went for it in plus territory on that fourth down on the first drive that they had. And it just wasn't at the point in the game where you felt like he needed to, but I think he realized after watching that first Eagles possession that he was going to have to do his best to try to match points with that Eagles offense because Jalen Hurts and that offense was rolling. So, again, I have a hard time criticizing Brian Daboll after the season that they were putting together this year, especially given the talent that he had to work with. I think the one thing that the Giants figured out this offseason is that they have a head coach that knows what the hell he's doing. And that's a huge step in the right direction after dealing with Joe Judge, Pat Shurmur, and Ben McAdoo.
All right, so let's get back to Jones. How much do you pay him? What's the ceiling? What's the line of demarcation the Giants may not be willing to cross?
Don, I think you use the non-exclusive franchise tag as your benchmark in terms of what you want to pay Daniel Jones average annual value. Now, the non-exclusive franchise tag, without getting too far into the weeds, is projected to be $32.5 million. I think that's the area that I live in. And if we can't come to an agreement on a 3 or 4 year proposition, then I put the non-exclusive franchise tag on him. And if another team wants to sign him to an offer sheet and give me 2 first-round picks for Daniel Jones, then so be it. But I think the Giants are going to have a hard line in terms of what they're willing to pay Jones on a long-term deal. And if they can, he's going to play it out under the tag.
Now, everybody was giddy after the way he performed against the Vikings, and he was great. And he played very well all year. Then his performance against the Eagles, who are suffocating with their defensive front, was not that great. So where is Daniel Jones? What's his upside in terms of a comparable quarterback to you, Chris?
Well, I heard you say Kirk Cousins, Michael. I don't think that's a bad comp. I would probably go the direction of Ryan Tannehill, a guy that can, you know, help you compete for some division titles, a guy that's going to use his arm and his legs, somebody that can protect the football if Brian Daboll continues to be his coach. But he's not going to wow you in terms of, you know, being at the top of the list when it comes to passing metrics. That's not who he is. I don't think that's who he's ever going to develop into. I think he's going to be a quarterback that you can win with if he has the requisite talent around him, if he has all the pieces in place. But everything has got to be really good. The general manager's got to hit on his picks. You got to hit on free agency in order to get the best out of him.
See, what I find interesting about this, we've talked about this before, Chris. This is an organization that did not give him the fifth-year option. They wanted to see what they can do. And if you look at the game plan, and correct me if I'm wrong because you're an expert, whether it was the lack of talent or whether it's the lack of ability for Jones, they didn't ask him to do a lot, not throw a lot. They used his legs more. They came up with something that they felt worked for him and his skill set. Are we 100% sure they're sold on Jones? Is it possible there's still question marks to where they might be welcoming an opportunity to move in a different direction?
Well, there have to be question marks, Don. I mean, Daniel Jones threw 17 touchdown passes and 18 starts if you include the playoffs. There have to be questions. I mean, Think about today's NFL. The rules are oriented toward the offensive side of the ball. The passing game, you're supposed to be able to put up points. And so while we did appreciate what he did against the Minnesota Vikings, 300 yards and 2 passing touchdowns, we also know the Vikings defense is trash. So I don't know if that's a true measure of what Daniel Jones is or what he can be in the future. But I do know that Brian Daboll has gotten the most out of him in comparison to any other coach that the Giants have brought through here. So I think the Giants would want to see more. And if I were them, I would take a one-year approach with Daniel Jones, or if he's willing to take a team-friendly deal in terms of the overall structure, you know, at a number that's probably going to be a little bit lower than what he could find in the marketplace, then I'd be okay with that too. But I don't think this is a situation where you're going out and you're guaranteeing Daniel Jones nine figures on a contract extension.
Now, before we let you go, if you're the Jets, would you go after Aaron Rodgers?
No.
How come?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, I think what Green Bay is asking is too much, and I think Aaron Rodgers is passing. I do. I mean, when you look at the metrics this year, I mean, he's 24th in completion percentage above expected. He was 26th in QBR. And the four-game win streak at the end of the season, guys, I'm just not impressed. I mean, you beat the Chicago Bears. They have the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. You turn around and you beat the LA Rams. They punted on the season starting Baker Mayfield. You beat the Miami Dolphins, whose quarterback may or may not have been concussed and threw three interceptions in the fourth quarter. And you beat the Minnesota Vikings, and that's a team that got bounced in the first round at home to the Giants. And here's the coup de grace to it all. You had a win and end situation, week 18 at home against a division rival, and you couldn't get it done. Not only that, Aaron Rodgers' offense was only able to engineer 16 points, and you turned the ball over twice. I don't see Aaron Rodgers having a renaissance in his age 40 season in 2023. I just don't see it. And if you're going to fork over multiple draft picks, multiple first-round draft picks for a quarterback this offseason, if I were the Jets, I would look in Lamar Jackson's direction before I look at Aaron Rodgers.
But the way I look at it over the next couple of years, because look at the talent the Jets have compared to the Packers, right? And you still talk about a guy that threw for almost 3,700 yards and, what, 26 touchdowns. You drop those stats on the Jets, and they're probably still playing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the great part about sports, right? Don, we can have these debates. We can get into sports hypotheticals. But all I know is the lasting image of Aaron Rodgers, the $50 million a year quarterback, is that he couldn't get it done on his home field in Lambeau. And if you look at Aaron Rodgers' career trajectory in terms of his team success, them playoff exits are getting earlier and earlier.
Well,
NFC Championship game a couple years ago, divisional round game in 2021, and this year he didn't even make the postseason.
Well, let me ask you.
Make of that what you will.
Now, let me ask you this. Is it that much different than Brady's last year in New England?
No, I guess it's not that much different than Brady's last year in New England, but we can't assign Tom Brady productivity to every single quarterback that's getting into their 40s because Tom Brady is the outlier. We can't say that, oh, he's got a chance to win an MVP and a Super Bowl in his 40s. I mean, before Tom Brady, we don't see quarterbacks do that. So why are we going to assign that to Aaron Rodgers when we got over 100 years of history in the NFL that tells us it's more unlikely than probable that A-Rod is going to have the potential to do it?
Chris, good stuff as always. We thank you for popping on with us.
All right, appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a good one.
All right, that's Chris Canning. And in the middle of that was the Big Blue Report driven by Ramsey Mazda. It's the experience of driving a new Mazda and buying a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. So his take is he thinks he's on the downside. You could take the opposite view that he didn't have a lot of weapons, but he did lose a win and in game and didn't perform well against a Lion team that had nothing to play for. Nothing. So those are, I mean, it's not a slam dunk, although I look at it kind of like you, Don. Even if he's the Aaron Rodgers of this past year, he's better than anything the Jets had.
Well, it's that, and I know it's not comparable to Tom Brady as far as the talent's concerned. Tom Brady is just a freak that he can perform at this level in his mid-40s. But what were we thinking Tampa was getting when Tom Brady closed out his career in New England? It looked like Tom Brady was on the downside. They lost a playoff game. He wasn't very good. They didn't have a lot of weapons, and it just seemed like maybe he's done. And then he was rejuvenated in Tampa with a different coach, and Bruce Arians had some weapons, had some talent around him, and the next thing you know, he's winning MVPs. I'm not asking Aaron Rodgers to win an MVP, Michael. I want him to go out there and be the quarterback he was last year, which is 100 times better than anything the Jets had. And I believe his numbers will be better next year with this kind of talent. Why is everything about the quarterback? Didn't the entire team lose that game to the Lions, not just Aaron Rodgers? Right? Were they coached well? Was there talent on both sides of the ball to allow the Lions to win that game? Or is it all just about Aaron Rodgers and he lost the game and he's the whole reason why this team went 8-9? That's unfair, too.
But that's the way the sport is.
I understand
that. There's a chance they're only 8-9 because of Rodgers, and they would have been 3-14.
Right. You know what I'm saying, Peter? So you remember, we were together on the show when that last year in New England. It looked like Tom was kind of cooked. And I'm not asking Aaron Rodgers to go out there and win an MVP. I'm asking him to be even 75, 60% of what he's been in his entire career. That's 100 times better than what the Jets have had in recent seasons. And with the talent around him, I think the Jets can get a lot of productivity over the next couple of years. And what am I losing? A 13th pick? Maybe a 25th pick the next year? For a team that's pretty loaded talent-wise, Michael.
I tend to really lean towards it. The move is to get him also. I'm kind of surprised that Chris felt that way. It's just so hard to find the guy. Who is that going to be if it's not him? And how is Zach Wilson going to turn around? By the way, are you guys following the constant moving line that is the Chiefs and the Bengals?
No, I have not been following it closely. Why?
I don't know what you have it at Caesars there, Anthony. It's at 2. So Caesars has it at 2. Some places have it at 2.5. But pretty wild. I don't know if that's an indicator of Mahomes really being that bad or the public just falling in love with the Bengals on Sunday.
I think they're falling in love with Cincinnati.
That's what it feels like,
see,
right?
See, now, because I've majored in Donology, that means to me Don's taking the Chiefs. Just the tone of his voice there.
I agree 100%.
That means I'm taking the Chiefs because you can hear it. I know this man like no one else other than maybe Nancy, and I think he's taking the Chiefs. Just by the way he answered that question.
I agree. I got that hunch. I got that hunch from him yesterday.
Yeah. You want to answer this, Don, or not?
Well, you can read it what you will.
Right.
All I said, I'll repeat it.
I Beckham. Heard what you said.
But for the people out there that maybe didn't get the same vibe that you got, is that people are falling in love with the Bengals. That's the answer, guys. How does the line go from a pick 'em to now 2.5 unless people are betting Cincinnati?
And Cincinnati was so good on Sunday on the road that it makes you feel like, oh, well, they'll go on the road and do it again. They could do it in Buffalo. Why not do it at Arrowhead? But, man, guys, the hard part for me is Kansas City really – is Andy Reid really going to lose his fourth straight to this team?
Andy Reid has had a lot of failures in the postseason, especially with the Eagles. Didn't he go to what? 5 straight NFC championships?
Well, he lost 4, and then he won the one to go to the Super Bowl against New England. So it's all changed. You know, once he went, that one Super Bowl changed Andy Reid from a guy that can't win the big one to now I can't believe he would lose again to Cincinnati.
Turned him from Marty Schottenheimer to Andy Reid.
Right. Yeah. He went from Marty Schottenheimer.
It's
like,
so true.
And Bill Cowher was a light like that, too. Just couldn't win the big one until he did. And now, you know, he has pick his jobs, and now he just has a seat, I guess, for life on the CBS pregame.
He wore a horrible outfit the other day, too, by the way.
So you don't like his outfit, and you didn't like Nate Burleson's outfit. Who do you think you are?
I got to tell you.
What, Mr. Blackwell?
No, we're really – how do I put this without just being that guy?
Go ahead.
Because I'll include our network in this analogy, so don't think, oh, Don's going after CBS and Fox. It has become Tonka truck what's happening with this pre- and post-game show. The Fox – pregame, which I don't watch. They need a bigger desk. They can't fit all the people. Like, how many people do you need to analyze? And you've got more people than minutes on the air at halftime.
They had to remove Gronk just to put Sean Payton in.
And you know,
by the way, Payton, did he add anything for anyone?
Explain to me, Gronk. Sit me down and explain it to me.
He's reading.
You could see he's just reading a prompter. Like, what is it about him? Is he super attractive? Is he that popular? Is he that polarizing? Like, what is it that moves the needle that I have to have Gronk on to analyze anything?
Let me tell you the truth, and I'll risk getting in trouble here. Do you want to hear the application that comes out for players when they leave the league?
Mm-hmm.
Here it is from the networks. Hey, did you play football? Are you white? Can you put together 4 sentences? We'd love to give you a job. Here's $40 million. Are you remotely popular? Or in some cases, very popular? Because that's Gronk's, right? Gronk is very popular.
Yes.
I get it. He was very popular. He has shown us nothing in terms of getting to be someone I want to see talk about football.
Wow. You guys, no holds barred. You go after Al Michaels. Now you're going after poor little Gronk.
No, why can't we? Why? We can only analyze them when they play. Once they retire, we can't touch them.
They go after. I mean, listen, we get attacked. We get questioned. We every day.
Hey, listen, I just don't understand. Michael Strahan's very good. Howie Long's very good. Johnson, you know what? You're done.
You know, how about this? Don? Strahan's so good and such a great broadcaster. You know what I thought this week when I was watching him try to get a word in edgewise next to Sean Payton? I thought, why is this worth the trip for him every week?
It's money. Really amazing.
I can't believe he does it.
But also, he was not portrayed flatteringly on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, my.
Not at all.
I have to say, it was a little, I'm not offended by parody or by SNL, but Strahan has sort of been around too long and been too established as a quality broadcaster to get the portrayal they gave him on SNL. That was rough.
Wow, look at you. Now you're defending Michael Strahan. So you hate Gronk, but you love Strahan.
Well, Strahan's a real broadcaster. Like, he takes it seriously. Don, you'd agree. He's made it his craft, and he's the real deal.
See, that's all I'm saying is you put in the work. He clearly puts in the work. The guy has an animalistic way of approaching things. The guy works nonstop. And then, like, Gronk, it's just like, well, throw him on, and he's reading off the prompters. I don't even know if it's his analysis.
And yeah, Ed Payton just didn't impress me. I was
now,
like,
and all the people that you were just complimenting, Don, you left Terry Bradshaw out.
Oh, I'm not a fan either. I don't get Bradshaw. I don't understand it. Is he comic relief? Why do they have him do highlights? I don't get. That's right. He was a good quarterback. Obviously great. He's in the Hall of Fame, although he played with a bunch of Hall of Famers. 4-for-4 in the Super Bowl.
I mean, some would say I could have quarterbacked that team in the Super Bowl.
I don't get it.
What I don't get, I'll even join in on this.
Here we go. Finally.
Why in CBS and Fox, why do they think it's a good idea to have the analysts do the highlights? They can't do it.
It's
and on Fox, it's all Terry, and he even jokes that he can't pronounce the name. Why? And you got Menifee there, you got Brown there. Let them do it. That's their job.
Now that we're really rolling, and we've really got this ball rolling and just trashing everything we saw this weekend, I got one more to throw in. Did we need, this isn't an exaggeration, I watched more of the NBC pregame Football Night in America than I ever watched because we were going to a wedding. I was tired. I took a little like pre-wedding nap and turned on the pre-show. Don, nothing better to fall asleep to than a pregame, right? Oh. So I got the pregame on. You guys need 9 different people to toss between. At no point is there natural conversation. It's 3 sentences, toss to the next 2. 3 sentences, toss to the people on the field. Toss to Maria Taylor, back to Jack Collinsworth, up to Chris Collinsworth. It's stupid.
Why do people think more is better?
The world is built on more is better.
The max number of people before it gets absurd is 5. After 5, we're now in lunacy territory.
When I saw the pregame on Fox, the first thing that jumped to mind was the Naked Gun when they had all the different
Dr. Joyce
Brothers. I mean, we've become that, right? Where we're just throwing anybody on. They couldn't fit them on the screen.
You know what? I don't know if you felt like this, Don. I think the maximum people on a sports radio talk show should be 2.
Once you've always said that. You've always felt that.
Once you get past 2, it's time to, trim the fat.
You know what? Good news, Michael. I'm hearing in a few months that's exactly what might be happening.
Yeah. You know, coming up, we're going to analyze ourselves. How about that?
How about that?
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Aaron Judge made the late night scene last night.
Yeah, he's all over. Is that the Ranger game?
Yeah, got a big hand.
Why wouldn't he?
And should be honored and beloved every time he appears in public. He has 62 home runs.
That's true. He was also at the Drake concert this weekend.
I know. A guy jumped from the upper deck at the Apollo 2.
That's what I heard. And I don't know if they jumped
Drake
or fell.
Well, they're assuming he jumped, but he was fine. But Drake stopped the concert. because Drake's a responsible human being.
Great.
And then
guy.
When he found out that he was okay, then they went on. But Aaron did. They were chanting, "Let's go Yankees." So you got that for you. And some Giants were there as well. But anyway, Aaron was on Fallon, and he talked about re-signing with the Yankees.
It was a fun process. You know, every athlete wants to get to that position where they can kind of choose, you know, where they get to play. You know, just so happened I got drafted by the best team, you know, on the planet.
He talked about meeting with other teams.
Yeah, you know, I met a lot of great teams, a lot of great people along the way. But, you know, after every meeting, you know, I sit down with my wife and we kind of look at each other and be like, we're Yankees.
Then he talked about how Anthony Rizzo recruited him back.
Yeah, it was Anthony Rizzo. He played a big part. Big part. He was a free agent too. He opted out, but he got his contract out of the way, and he said, "Now we gotta get you locked in." So,
really,
he was calling me every day. He was sending me texts every day.
Every day.
Yeah, it was. He was working hard.
And finally, about being named captain.
It was a shock to me. You know, you always dream about something like that, getting an opportunity to. You know, represent the Yankees and be the captain. You know, I didn't think it ever happened, but, you know, I was on the phone with Hal, the boss, and, you know, we were kind of talking over negotiating the deal. Then at the very end, he's like, "Oh, by the way, I'm gonna name you 16th captain." So it was, I was speechless. I really didn't know what to say, but it was, you know, honor I don't take lightly. And
not since Derek Jeter.
Correct.
Have you talked to Derek about this responsibility?
I talked with him a little bit throughout the free agency process. We talked and really asked about his advice. What was it like for him, you know, through arbitration stuff, free agency? You know, he said, "You know what? I'll take you out for lunch or something. We'll kind of talk about things." But then after I signed my deal, he said, "Well, now you're going to take me out for breakfast, lunch, and dinner." So,
comic timing, 62 home runs. He's got it all. And I have a little breaking news to tell you.
What's okay.
That? The Yes Network has named me the first captain in the 21-year history of the Yes Network.
That's not true.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm the captain of the Yankee broadcast, not the Nets. That's Ian.
Wow. It's completely unnecessary.
Why?
Well, because you're the guy.
Yeah, but that C means something. I'm going to have a C on my lapel for every game.
Well, there's a lot of people that you've got to corral through, because are they going to expand at all? Like, just David and Paul.
Listen. This is above my pay grade. I have no idea what's going on.
Well, you're the captain, so you should know all this stuff.
No, but I'm not the owner. Yeah. I mean, I think Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman are going to know a lot more than the captain does.
Speaking of Hal.
Yeah.
When am I going to get my $20?
Well, was he running away? He owns the Yankees. It's not like he's going to go into witness protection.
No, Peter, it was just an honest question. The game was played well over a week ago.
I know.
Sure.
I know the mail can be slow.
Right.
But if you dropped it in the mailbox 3 days ago, I would have had it yesterday.
Do you think it's wise to send cash through the mail?
I don't know what his process is, but whatever it is, it's slow.
You know that we were told where we live, which is a nice place, do not put envelopes with checks in the mailbox and then lift the little flag to tell you that.
Oh, that makes sense.
Because people are stealing envelopes with checks out of the mailbox.
I can see that. I've never put that flap up, by the way.
Why? It tells the mailman or mailwoman.
Well, mailman, when they open the mailbox to put mail in, they'll see there's mail in it and they'll take it.
Then why do you have that little flag?
I don't know.
Why don't you rip it off? Why don't you rip the flag off?
Show us something, Don.
Aesthetically, it wouldn't look very nice. Now we've devalued the mailbox. The mailbox has the little flap. It's operational. I don't use it.
It's not a flap. It's a flag.
It's not a flap.
A flap?
Well, because you just move it up and down.
It's a flag.
So it flaps.
It doesn't flap.
But it's
flap.
Not a flag. It doesn't. When the wind blows, it doesn't flap in the wind.
Well, but the flap doesn't flap either.
It flaps up and down.
It does not.
Whatever it is, I don't use it. But it's still aesthetically pleasing on the mailbox.
Well, it's what you picture.
Yeah, I don't want to see it like I'm going to rip it off and it's all jagged edge and look what happened to the mailbox.
Does it say Le Greca on the mailbox?
No, just the number of the house.
What's the number? Tell everybody.
Does it have Le Greca? I don't even know now.
You
just
live there.
But just there, we got a custom made because one of the neighbor's sons, while learning to drive, ran it over a few years ago.
Did you sue him?
No, we're neighbors. I told you how close we are in our cul-de-sac.
Yeah, I know, the key party, the whole deal. Eric Church is coming to PNC
I don't know
Bank
who this
Arts
is.
Center. You don't know who Eric Church
no
is?
No idea.
Well, why don't you Google him? Peter, right. You know who Eric Church is. I know he's not your genre, but...
I'm a big fan of the song Springsteen.
Me too. I've gone to an Eric Church concert because Jody loves country music.
Wow. What was the Eric Church concert like?
It was as you would think. A lot of Budweiser nips behind Clixies and, you know, the whole deal. Anyway, he's coming to PNC Bank Arts Center on Friday, August 25th. ESPN New York has your chance to score tickets all week with DiPietro and Rothenberg and the Michael K. Show. It's all from Live Nation. Tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster.com.
Not a big country guy. Although I grew up on it, because that's all my dad listened to was WHN back in the day, which ironically
which became FAN.
Was a 1050 WHN, and then I started working there, which was crazy. Father loved George Benson. He wasn't a rock guy, my dad. So I listened to old Alabama, all that. And so some of that I like, but the new stuff, it all just sounds the same to me.
You just don't like the change, do you?
No, I'm not interested in pickup trucks and...
Yeah, but all you care about the band Ruptured Epiglottis. That you like.
See, not a band.
You're trying to make a point, and then you exaggerate, which means you had no point to make. Yes, I'd rather listen to heavy metal than country music.
Country music tells a story. And they lose a girl, the car goes bad.
I mean, we've heard the story.
They all tell the same story.
Well, you know what? Every song tells the same story. It's about love. It's about heartbreak. Every song.
I know, but country, and I enjoy country, but pop country, to Don's point, does often tell the same story.
All songs tell the same story.
But that's not true. That's not true. All basic pop songs tell the same story. You see what I'm saying, Don?
I'm with you. You had me at hello.
So 99 problems, but the ain't one, right? That's not a story that's been told over and over in pop music.
What a terrible example that was.
You
really dropped the ball there. That song is so unique. Each verse, he tells a specific story about 99 problems, but ain't one.
I understand. So then how's that different than 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover? He gives specific verses on all those.
I don't recall the verse on 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover when Paul Simon gets pulled over by the police and he reads them and he knows his rights and sends them away, unable to search his car.
Because it's a different time. It's a different life, but it's still about essentially the same thing.
No, it's not. I'm sorry. It's a bad example.
About love and loss?
Everything's about love and loss.
Everything.
Every song essentially is about love and loss.
That's not true.
Yeah, that is not true at all.
This is a big take the L moment, I think, you're looking at right here.
No,
you're struggling.
I'm not taking any L.
Don, this take is much worse and more crazy and out there than my take yesterday.
It makes sense because his knowledge of music and his taste in music is infantile, for lack of a better word. It's just completely undeveloped.
Yours isn't.
Believe me. I'm right there with
you.
That's part of what I like. I also love Simon and Garfunkel.
Very elegant.
Wait, but it's not about elegance.
Yeah, it's about knowledge. It's about appreciation.
Yeah, it's about not being just a cursory listener. That's the point Don's making. Not that he's more elegant than you. No, of course not. It's that he cares, and he actually has genres he digs deep into. You haven't gone deep.
I go deep.
I've never heard you go deep.
It's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Got a couple of games tonight. Got the Knicks and the Cavaliers. Donovan Mitchell is at the Garden, but not in the Knick uniform, thanks to the Knick front office. 7:30, the tip, and 7 o'clock is the pregame right here on 98.7 ESPN. And then 7:30, Devils against the Golden Knights. This one is in Vegas, right?
No, it's here.
Why do you do this, Anthony? The home team should be listed last.
I put V for an at. I'll switch it up.
Oh. No, but I see where Michael's coming from, but the V... for a captain of a network, should be able to pick that up.
I'm the captain of the Yes Network, not ESPN.
Here by accident.
I'm barely hanging on to a waiver wire here.
And it might be time.
But the 7:30 should have told you a story as well.
You know what?
You're not dropping a puck 7:30 Eastern in Vegas.
Well, maybe that's something the Venetian going on, and they want the game early.
They want to get the games early in Vegas so you can hit the table.
Yeah. All right, so Devils, Golden Knights at Prudential Center.
That's right.
And that is it. And that's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. One quick thing that I didn't have a chance because of all the football last week. I like the Met signing of Tommy Pham.
I'm a fan.
He can play.
A fan.
You're a fan of Pham?
Yeah.
He can play. He can hit.
No,
He's not bad defensively. It's a nice fourth outfielder.
It's a nice fourth outfielder.
Good move.
Very good move.
Solid move.
But there was a lot of football. So you can understand how it got lost.
Of course.
But still, I saw it.
But I want to serve the Met fans the way they deserve to be served.
I'm looking forward to baseball season.
Oh, really? Why?
Because I'm really looking forward to the spring. I can't say that the winter's been that bad. It really hasn't.
But you hate when I say pitchers and catchers like it's some religious experience.
Yeah, because it's stupid. It really is.
It's a nothing.
Just 12 days, the pitchers and catchers. Okay, we're not playing any games. Oh, the pitchers and catchers are there. Why do I care where they are?
Yeah, but when they go out there on the green grass and you hear the ball smacking into the mitt and they're
baseball.
Warming up.
Nothing.
Oh, the chills you get down your back.
Well, you do.
You said you're looking forward to baseball.
Yeah, when it means something. Not that the pitchers and the catchers have gathered together.
What happens if Verlander throws a couple of pitches in Port St. Lucie, blows his arm out? It would mean something, wouldn't it?
It would, but I'm not looking forward to it, or I'm counting the days for that to happen.
No, I don't want it to happen either.
I'm looking forward to the spring. You know, Marco signed up for baseball.
Oh, look at you.
It's T-ball.
All right.
At 5.
Sure.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And the first game that he's playing is a Saturday. There's no Rangers. I'm looking forward to getting the weather to be warmer.
Are you going to be that guy screaming and all that? Screaming
no, I'm going to be just like my dad. My dad was never like that. And my dad went to every game that he could for most of my baseball
Would you
baseball
blow
career.
Off a show if Marco's playing in a game?
I won't be allowed to. But, you know, but if I could, I would.
What? The time you spend with your children is much more important.
No,
than
I understand that, but also the money in which I make at this company
helps support the children.
And,
sure.
And this company has really put it to that point where if I were to ask for the day off, the answer would be no. If I'd walk, then I'd be fired.
Interesting. And you can't take 10-week vacations.
It can be done.
Apparently it can be done.
Yeah, Peter and I can't do that.
It's misinterpreted when it is done.
Well, it's,
I don't know where are you coming with that. I mean, you brought it up. I'm
suspension,
curious.
Negotiating a deal rather than Michael's off for 10 weeks.
But
let's
10 weeks
hide
off.
It from our family, the listeners.
Well, you don't have to air that part out of it. But it can be done.
Just know that
lift
Michael, Don,
and
Peter did not want to keep it a secret.
But Peter and I can't do that.
I'm sure you could.
Not yet. Give it time, Don. Give it time.
But I would like to. So I'm looking forward to the spring, even though the winter has not been that abrasive. I'm looking forward to the spring.
Will you always give Marco positive reinforcement, even if he's terrible on the field?
Oh, I want him to get better.
Right.
But I'm not going to yell and bark orders at him.
No,
but I want to be able to give feedback. Otherwise, why are you doing it?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. After the show yesterday, I watched Charlie play basketball.
Basketball.
It's fun, yeah. Yeah, it's cute watching kids play.
And how are you? Are you?
I keep my mouth shut. I stay as far in the background as possible.
Swish.
I would love to coach. There's no time for that, unfortunately, but I would love to coach.
Well, coach him in your backyard.
That's what I've been doing. Right. But I'm looking forward to see, like, organized. We've got to go and get him a bat. Because when I was a kid, the helmets were supplied.
No.
The bats were supplied.
Everything you have to buy.
Now, and can you explain this to me?
Sure.
I'm not going to make any waves.
Uh-huh.
Does he really need cleats? Pitter-patter down the first base line at 5. Am I worried about him having, you know, traction to be
it's
able to round the
fair
base?
Fair point.
But they
fair
need
point.
Cleats. I mean, I got no problem doing that. But honestly, we want kids to be able to play, right? And luckily, I'm
very wealthy.
Of means where to buy a helmet
right.
and a glove
so don't be
and a bat
get him,
and cleats.
Get him, cleats.
I can do that.
Get them.
But you know how many people can't do that and other kids don't play?
But you're wealthy and you should do it. Don't even question
it. I understand that, but that doesn't mean I can't empathize with people that maybe their son or daughter can't play because they can't afford the bat and the helmet and the cleats and the glove.
Yeah, that's why basketball is so popular. All you need is sneakers and one ball.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
They all have that country music kind of twang to it. Doesn't seem to be really a lot of variety. I could see why people like it. Nancy likes it. But there doesn't seem to be much of a difference from one artist to the other for me. For me. What do you got?
What are you huffing
for? What do you even know about anything?
Musically. I don't know
like you're going to break down country music? Like, you're disgusted
like.
With my take. At least I have a take.
I have a take. I like country music.
Who else do you like
besides what artist do you like?
Eric Church.
Dolly Parton.
Okay. Wow. Okay. See, anything between Dolly Parton and Eric Church, or
yeah, sure.
I've seen
Casey
Dwight
Musgraves.
Casey Musgraves.
The guy with the hat.
You were Kenny Chet? Tim McGraw.
No, not. I like Jason Aldean, but it's not him.
Tim McGraw.
No, Tim McGraw is great. No, I don't like Stapleton. I've seen him in concert. It wasn't good.
Chesney?
No. The real famous guy.
Garth Brooks.
That's it, yeah.
Couldn't remember his name.
Yeah.
Okay, I've seen Alan Jackson live. I've seen Dwight Yoakam live. I mean, I'm coming from a place. See, here's the difference between you and me. I'll take the deep dive before I'll come up with an opinion on something. Like, I'm not coming from a place of ignorance. Oh, I don't like that music. I'll rattle off some artists. I've seen them live. I grew up around it. I grew up with it.
Chris Stapleton singing the national anthem at the Super Bowl.
Don't care. Just like I don't care that Rihanna's doing halftime.
Well,
I'll
that's stare, a mistake.
I'll
that's...
stare at the wall before I'll watch. I have no interest in her music or her generally, and why they even bother with music.
That's
You know what? If I was an executive, I'd just go black screen for 15 minutes.
Really? Because then they would pretty much just throw away all the money Pepsi throws at them for sponsoring
understand.
Halftime.
I'm just telling you me, all right? I'm not motivated.
You would take
money.
A knee.
I'd take a knee.
Everybody just rest. Yeah. Have your wings.
Yeah.
We're going to have a black screen right now.
And listen, I've made a living. And I don't do things well, but I think I do a good pre and post game. Well, I don't really care about your opinion. I feel like I do.
Okay,
so
that's all
I'm
counts.
Not soliciting other opinions because I'm comfortable right. with the job that I believe
yeah, but,
I do.
You know, my job okay. is to give opinions. I think
I
you do okay.
have zero interest in them.
You do them.
So you don't even care when you're doing yours.
No, I care because I'm on the air and I want to do a really good job. But for me, what kickoff, halftime, I disappear into my own thoughts. Game's over, shut it off. Really. Zero interest in pre and post. I have none. Never did.
Listen to this exchange, Peter.
Never will.
Chris Stapleton singing the national anthem at the Super Bowl.
Don't care.
Don't care.
Oh, believe me, I heard it, and I knew where it was going.
But why should I care?
About Chris Stapleton?
What if I told you that Lars Ulrich is going to do a drum solo at halftime? You'd be like, I don't care, because
I
don't expect you to care.
I would love it, because David Wells and I would have something to talk about. He named his son after Lars Ulrich.
That's good for him.
Now, Nick Sirianni made some waves, said he watched a Giant Viking game and ordered some Pizza Hut stuffed crust pizza.
No, I don't get
in Philadelphia,
crust
which has a you don't get stuffed crust pizza.
No, not a big fan.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
I know what it is. I'm good.
Hope.
I mean, there's enough cheese.
Well, he was
right?
asked about his pizza choice because of the fact that you know Philadelphia has some great pizza.
So everywhere's great pizza.
Here's Nick.
We're also going to need an update on what your food of choice was for the Niners Cowboys game.
Little Caesars this time.
So he loves the chains.
Well, and what's wrong with that?
Nothing. There. I once had an argument with someone. Oh, I hate chain restaurants. I said, well, the chain restaurants because they're popular. Huh.
But it's also where, like we said this about Mexican food, Peter, right? Where I can go to an amazing Mexican restaurant. And then the next day, go to Taco Bell, completely different experience. Yep. I can go sit down at like Famous Ray's or give me just any great pizzeria in New York, have a great, you know, meatball pizza with my family, and then go to Pizza Hut the next day, completely different experience. I think that's what if you go to Little Caesars or you go to Domino's or you go to Pizza Hut, that's not pizza adjacent to the sense where I'm saying it's not as good. It's just it's different. It's not the same at all to me.
I'm going to tell you right. The best case I have for this is there is no more a New Yorker in the world than my fiance Natalie Miss Hattenham Rossi. Born in Queens, family moved to Brooklyn. Been here her whole life. Her name's Miss Hatton. The biggest foodie I know. Knows every dope pizza place in all five boroughs. Still, Don can be in the mood to get Domino's or pizza.
Yeah, it's a different thing.
Well, I mean, I used to, when I was on the road eating pizza, you know what I would do.
Right on the chest.
Right on the chest.
I'd get an order of Domino's or whatever was the closest fast food and fast food pizza.
I got a steaming hot Domino's on my chest.
I would slide the hot pizza onto my chest and I would lay there and watch TV. And then I would pick a slice out and get the cheese out of the chest hair. That was living. That was when life was fun.
Halftime, I disappear into my own thoughts. And I think the same for hamburgers. Go to a really nice gourmet hamburger someplace, and then the next day get a Big Mac. It's a
I
different
love
experience.
How about a Whopper?
God, I love Whoppers.
All right, this season marks the 50th anniversary of New York Islanders hockey. To help celebrate, we're giving away tickets to the January 28th matchup against the Vegas Golden Knights at UBS Arena. Now to enter, download the free ESPN New York app. Scroll down to contest and submit your entry. Brought to you by the New York Islanders. Join in the fun this season by grabbing your tickets at NewYorkIslanders.com for full contest rules. go to ESPNNewYork.com. Now, I know we're right up against the clock, but I did want to make this one point.
Do it.
About hockey. So we went to the Islander game, and they played the Bruins. And then the next day or the day after that, the Bruins played the Rangers.
Yes.
Not good. I know you're trying to save travel, but don't flood the New York market with the same team playing the teams a couple of days apart. What if they're crossover fans? Have the Bruins come into town again and play the Rangers a month later.
I don't understand. I'm sorry. I'm dense.
All right. We'll leave it at that. We'll be back with more right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.